Uh-huh. Ziggy X. They got one more problem with you, girl. Hey.
Welcome, everybody, to Empower Hour. I am your host, Tracy Ullman, and here with me, too, is co-host Dr. Lauren Schofield.
Hey, everybody.
Hey. And together, we are here talking with you about hot topics on health and alternative medicine, and we have a show for you. Don't we today?
Oh, my goodness. We are...
Dr. Lauren, tell us.
We're nervously excited. How's that? We have a great host and guest coming in, and she was to be in the studio, but as national stars are, she's speaking on a symposium today, and they redirected all of the speakers when all of a sudden she found out that she was speaking during or ending right at the time that our show starts. So Jen Groover, in which Tracy's going to tell you all about her in the time that we're waiting for her patiently to call in, and we're very flexible. Tracy and I can handle this until Jen calls in, and we're very excited to have her participate in any way on the Empower Hour show. But before Jen calls in and before we start our program, I want to remind everybody that Transformation Station will be stopping at the Westchester Area YMCA located on Airport Road in Westchester. Please, 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 if you are in the area or you ever want to see Tracy and I live, it's going to be an exciting show. So join us for our live broadcast as we learn about the YMCA empowering families, individuals, and those less fortunate in our community with programs and daycare and camps and after-school programs and so much more, Tracy. So it's going to be amazing. We have the VP, Laura Schofield Pearson. She'll be joining us for the entire broadcast, and we're going to be bringing on people with testimonials and just empowering stories. It's going to be a wonderful show, so we really want you guys not only to tune in, but stop by the YMCA. That'll be next Tuesday the 26th at 3 p.m.
And I wanted to tell you, my in-laws are going to stop by because they are.
I'm very, very excited to meet you.
Roberta.
Hey, Roberta.
And Tom. Tom works out. Swims.
He works out.
Yeah, he works out. He likes to swim there, so hopefully you'll get a chance to meet him.
Good, good, good.
Yeah.
Good. So, hey, today, let's talk about Jen Groover. She's not here to tell her own story. But, Tracy, take it away.
Yeah, so Jen Groover, for those waiting to her call in, is, you know, Jen Groover is a serious entrepreneur who's gone basically from guest hosting spots on QVC to making deals with some of today's industry heavyweights. And her success skyrocketed with the creation of the Butler Bag. And the Butler Bag is the world's first compartmentalized handbag, which can now be found at several prominent retailers, including Avon is one of them.
Right.
She is also involved in empowering young girls through her organization called Little Girls, which I wanted to ask her a little bit more about today. And she also has national recognition. And in that national recognition, she's been seen on TV shows empowering audiences such as Oprah, The Ellen Show, CNN, and featured also in magazines such as People and InStyle. So Jen Groover, because we are the Empowerment Show, I've known of her for about, I guess, 6 years. I had met her. I bought her book, What If, Why Not? She signed it for me. And basically, her book changed my life. I was not a self-made entrepreneur yet, but reading her book, it certainly changed my life. And inside the book, she put, Tracy, thank you so much for your incredibly inspirational story and your support for my company, too. Wishing you much success.
she is amazing. She likes that human touch. And I went to a workshop actually where Jen was in the audience, and she came up to me and gave me a really big hug, kind of like in, you know, at, not even at a break. She had to leave, and so before she left the room, she just came up. She's like, "Can't wait to see you tomorrow, Dr. Lauren," and gave me a big hug. Recognized me from my pictures online, and yeah, I made a point of coming up. She's just she likes the human touch. She is very real, and in this couple decade journey of hers, she likes to go out and empower those with knowing who you are, and don't be afraid to do what your gut says for you to do. And so she empowers many entrepreneurs that way. Yeah, and her story is quite amazing. She's a local girl, right, Tracy?
Yeah, she was born in Media, Pennsylvania, and Gruber's parental influence set the initial foundation for her life. Accountability was key, and her early education was in Catholic school, where the value of discipline, of course, was installed.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and her father, a Marine.
Yeah, so very disciplined, work ethic, good ethic work. And later, her Bachelor of Science degree in education and minor in philosophy were created. And it was woven into her career. So she is a local girl. And, you know, I like the story behind her is that her mom had a television show on Cablevision and was involved in many charitable events. And this experience of being with her mom allowed her to meet many people, including Philadelphia athletes like Steve Carlton, Pete Rose, and Tug McGraw. So,
yeah.
So she's been around celebrities and entrepreneurs her whole life who were basically living their dreams.
Yep.
So her father, though, did not grow up in an affluent environment, and he was a Marine, like you said, before, and he put himself through law school and became an attorney. He also was very involved in the community, and her mother was, interestingly, your mother was taught by Vince Lombardi. I didn't know that.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, he taught.
And so Jen eventually went out to dinner with him, correct?
Yeah.
Didn't she go out to dinner, and that was a very turning point of her career? That's when she went from...
Art Fettelmaker from the guy that says what kids say the darndest things.
Oh, right.
And she actually asked him to be her mentor.
Yeah. Right.
So her mother was taught by Vince at Cecilia High School in Englewood, New Jersey, and an experience that impacted her life was offered later to her son and her daughter. So her mother, being taught by Vince Lombardi, obviously she was influenced, and her teachings to her kids.
Right.
And her mom was
old-school,
hard-knocks Italian woman from Brooklyn. And reading about Lombardi, she knows that his ways mentally influenced her, like things that her mom would say to her. And, of course, we probably have heard this, too, is you're not allowed to complain unless you do something about it.
Yeah.
And if you want to win, you got to go for it. So her mother passed those ideas on to her, which now she, in her empowerment sessions and her speaking, national speaking, is that's what I liked about in the book, is she's very matter of fact and gives you the, you know, if you have a problem, find a solution type of
right.
deal.
She was inbred to believe in herself.
Exactly.
And that's what she just emanates that in all of her speaking, to make sure that you believe in yourself, that overcoming the fear of failure mindset means that she says, "I have more fear of regret than fear of failure. I realized that my fear of failure was the thing that was holding me from success." So for her and her upbringing, it was different. Now for you and I, we might have, you know, other nuances that hold us back, and they might be different for everyone. But mm-hmm. for her, it believing, not caring about money, believing herself, and then all of a sudden realizing that the fear of regret was more powerful than anything, and that's what moved her forward into this whole realm of success for almost 20 years. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So one of Jen's initiatives is emotional intelligence, reaching your human potential. We just spoke a little bit about Jen and how she likes that human touch, to be human, no matter who, how big you are, or how many, you know, expensive cars you might own or not, or businesses, just to be really human. And this emotional intelligence, it's been around since the year I was born in 1964. And I heard of it first, Tracy, by reading a book called Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman, and it was written in 1995. This is still in my top 10 books today. So it has like this new resurgence coming around. That book is 20 years old, and so it's a big buzz around emotional intelligence. In fact, Jeff Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, is quoted in saying that he wanted his next coach to value emotional intelligence. So I wonder if the new coach does or not. We'll find out. But anyway, these marked qualities, it's defined as a person having self-awareness, impulse control, persistence, zeal, self-motivation, empathy, and social skills. So these more qualities of people who excel in real life, who have intimate relationships that flourish, who are stars in their own workplace. These are also hallmark characteristics and of self-discipline, the altruism and compassion, as well as basic capacities needed to survive in and thrive in society. So what you and I called this in the day was street smarts.
Common sense.
Common sense. Mm-hmm. Street smarts. So that's what we're talking about, folks, when we say emotional intelligence. This was something that Jen wanted us to forefoot for her prior to her calling in, because it is one of her initiatives that she feels very passionate about, and it's fairly new on her circuit in the last couple of years. So, the whole emotional intelligence, it can be just kind of narrowed up to tools to increase this in you. In other words, you're not born with it. Like a high IQ is something genetically you're born with. But an emotional intelligence, Tracy, can change. It can be mapped. It can be trained and skilled,
taught.
Mm-hmm. As Jennifer says, back when I read the book, and the book I read, I don't know if it did say you can change it, but there really wasn't a blueprint map as there is today to change emotional intelligence. So growing self-awareness and create a habit of journaling. So Jen will talk about how she started with this process by journaling every day to be aware of what was going on with her habits every day. She wanted to journal. And then she identified self-limiting beliefs and self-sabotaging behaviors. And she didn't want to bury them. She wanted to be aware of them, to change them. And you bolstering your self-worth, healing the wounds from the past, she talks about, and changing negative self-beliefs. These aren't far much, Tracy, from what we've spoken about before in the past on, the Empower Hour. And then the last one, increasing your communication to create intense relationships, like really get intimate with those relationships. And last but not least, what I got on emotional intelligence is from the Dalai Lama himself. And I found, because I just love him anyway, he says, emotional intelligence succinctly explains how to deal with emotions creatively, and employ your intelligence in a beneficial way. So basically, they're saying that this high IQ may not be self-serving in a society where you want to excel. The book goes on saying all of the creative entrepreneurs boom when they have a high emotional intelligence. 80% of them are highly emotionally intelligent, and only 20% are not. So that goes without saying. That's that.
Well, I have lots of questions now for myself. So I'm going to be a little selfish today, and hopefully the listeners have the same questions I do.
Yeah, we always want to bring a personal approach. That's great.
So we got to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about emotional intelligence, and we're waiting for the call from Jen Gruber.
Everybody stay tuned.
All right, everybody, and we are back, and we are talking about emotional intelligence as we wait for the call from Jen Gruber, Super Gruber. You know, her friends call her Super Gruber because her friends refer her to that because of her energy and her ability to accomplish her goals. And when asked how success may have affected her life, Gruber always says about her friends always say that she hasn't changed since high school. She's always been energetic.
Yep.
Oh, down to earth.
Yep. And
just like you said.
She started right after college in the health field.
Yes.
So, you know, that I think has always kept her young through her middle age. And I don't even know how old she is, but I'm assuming she's middle aged. I did see her, like I said, yesterday when I was down in Philadelphia at a workshop. And, you know, I'm just so excited to have her be a part of the Empower Hour. I hope all of our listeners are just staying tuned as we wait for Jen to call in. She is speaking at a symposium of many speakers, and they did a round robin of the times that they were all going to speak, Tracy, and she was devastated, and she says, how can I make this work? And I'm like, no problem, no worries. We'll take care of it until you call in. And she was very grateful. She did not want to miss the show, and we did not want to reschedule. So rescheduling can be a nightmare when you get national celebrities coming into the Empower Hour to speak with us and all of you listeners. So remember, call in. We're a live show, 610-701-9243. That's 610-701-9243 when Jen calls in, and we can get your questions answered as we move forward. Talking about some of Tracy's initiatives, you have the girls' initiative that you're going to ask Jen about. I don't know that much about that initiative, but I do have a few here, Trace. While you're looking that up, I'll go through. You and I both love this one, right? Strength is harnessed through struggle. So I'm going to read this to everybody here. We have the power over one thing and one thing only in our lives: our perspective. Through our perspective, we give meaning to the circumstances that life sends our way. Nothing has meaning until we give it meaning. When we choose to see every life experience, desired or not, as an opportunity to learn and grow, you quickly realize the value in changing times, because that is usually where the most growth happens. When you're in pain, we initially seek to get out of it. There are two choices. First is what many do without realizing, which is the numbing the pain, the avoidance types of activities like staying overly busy, indulging in food, abusing alcohol or other substances. The second choice is to seek wisdom and a positive perspective to begin healing the pain, which works the muscles of resiliency, courage, strength, and adaptability. That explains you and me, girlfriend. That mm-hmm. is for sure. Mm-hmm. So once we realize the avoidance only keeps us stuck, or worse, sets us back in our own personal growth, we can see the challenging times as opportunities. Strength comes through struggle when we choose to be empowered by our circumstances, not victimized. How many times have we talked about that? So, but it's so powerful, and it's yet so very hard for those to do. That makes us better equipped to handle disappointments in the future rather than being stopped in our tracks by them. So that is per Jen Groover herself, reading that from a Twitter, a tweet, I should say, of hers. And I chose to read that today because of so much the conversation we've had here on the Power Hour, Tracy, you and I, with our listeners in regarding to that, that struggle does make you stronger.
It does. And her efforts with Leader Girls is that she believes, you know, money doesn't motivate Jen Groover. Making a positive impact through change does. And successful people work on themselves more than their business. I love that because
yeah.
that's what I do.
Yeah.
I certainly have worked on myself in my business. And sometimes my clients bring me, oh, I got to check myself. I need to work on that. Do you ever say that?
Oh, yeah.
When you're in front of people?
Well, you know, you're listening to them talk or a story and you get reminded and you're like, darn, I kind of fell by the wayside there a mm-hmm. little bit, and you do get checked on. And I think that's in my mind, the Lord's way of kind of saying, okay, you kind of gotten a little off track. Let's bring you back. And he's going to drop these little angels in your life, for me, patients, for you clients. And they get you back on.
Yeah, because when you are working with others, you certainly just can't see people as dollar signs.
Right.
You cannot just be motivated in doing it, entrepreneurship and leading young adults that, you know, you have to be responsible to make a positive impact to help other women. And so far, so fast, women have grown, haven't we?
Tons.
And
I love that. It's your responsibility to help others.
To make a positive impact. Yeah.
For yourself and for others to make a positive impact. So guess what? I'm seeing the flashing light. I'm very excited. And you bring Jen on here, Tracy. Hey.
Hello. Welcome to the panel. Is this Jen Groover?
It is Jen Groover. How are you?
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Oh, Jen, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day. How was your talk?
Oh, it was great. It was fantastic. 90 minutes of emotional intelligence.
Well, that's all right.
That's what we were just talking about. That's great.
All right, fantastic.
We brought the listeners into the subject, and we also told your story for you, which, of course, you know, no one can tell your story better than you, Jen. But we wanted the listeners to know a little bit about your background, so that's where we're at.
Okay, fantastic. Well, let me know wherever you want me to jump in.
Let's start with your initiative of the emotional intelligence.
So I would say of all the things that I do, emotional intelligence, my mission of sharing the importance of emotional intelligence is what I'm most passionate about and most focused on at this stage of my career, because I believe that emotional intelligence can change the world, truly change the world. Yeah. It can eradicate obesity. It could eradicate pain and suffering to the level in which it exists today. It would increase the economy. It would increase happiness. It will decrease stress-related illnesses and increase health and well-being. And, you know, I believe that happiness is anti-aging. So I use it as an anti-aging mechanism. It would increase happiness and fulfillment through all relationships as well, and just make life better. And I mean, I will even go to the point of world peace, because if everybody was emotionally intelligent, there wouldn't be war.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. And, you know, some of the things when you came upon this, I had prefaced, Jen, that I go back to a book in 1995. Now, I'm 51. And when this book came out in 95, emotional intelligence was still around, you know, 30 years before that. But it kind of resonated with me. And that book is still in my top 10 today. I loved it because I resonated that all of a sudden I wasn't a strong IQ girl. But I knew, I knew I had it going on in social skills. And this book actually put a title to it for me, and I resonated with it. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a high IQ girl myself, but I was definitely tapped into people. But I do believe that emotional intelligence is teachable to everybody. It's a toolbox, and some people are given more tools when they're younger, and some people aren't. But I've watched some people who came from pretty dark places and turn into the brightest light possible because they chose to. And they chose to learn the tools, and they learned to become emotionally tapped in. And my understanding of emotional intelligence and my messaging around emotional intelligence goes far beyond the psychology of it, and really into Buddhism, which I've studied for the past 15 years. And
really?
Buddhism, yeah, mm. Yeah. So for those who are listening, you know, to pick up The Art of Happiness is a good way to start to tap into emotional intelligence, because emotional intelligence is it's the practice of kindness, compassion, empathy, self-awareness, non-attachment, and then understanding that for other people and wanting that for other people. I mean, you know,
yeah,
most people that are hurt other people.
It's true, and I had made a quote from the Dalai Lama himself quoting on emotional intelligence before you called in, and
yeah,
you know, it's just
funny.
No, right? If you just start thinking about, I think one of your tools is just changing those negative self-beliefs, and Tracy and I talk about that a lot on the Power Hour, and just practicing that at first. I mean, how does someone start with this, you know, at all, Jen?
Well, what I would love to see is every school in the world teaching it in the future. We can start with the United States first. How I changed my entire trajectory of my future happened when I was in college, and I came from a dysfunctional childhood. I came from a childhood where there was a lot of screaming, there was a lot of wooden spoons and belts and discipline, and not a lot of these tools given in that time period. And when I went to college and I studied psychology and I learned about things like positive reinforcement and empathetic communication, I thought, whoa, wait a second. I didn't have to be hit with a wooden spoon to be like a good kid.
Oh, my God. I got beat with that spoon a lot.
There was a paddle in our kitchen.
Are you kidding me? Holy guacamole. Spoon came out and I ran.
We had a paddle too.
The spoons.
Yeah. Well, and so they didn't know any better, right? Like,
right.
That's what their parents did, and that's what their parents did. So they were just repeating a cycle of ignorance.
Right.
Once I was empowered with this knowledge around, you know, what positive reinforcement can do, I no longer could ever behave the way that they have behaved because I know better now. And I took responsibility for that, and I believed in that moment. Every person in the school, this should be a mandatory course for every person in this school to just be a better person. And
amen.
Isn't that what school really should be about?
Yes.
Because I mean, I was just doing the workshop on emotional intelligence, and I listed all the benefits of emotional intelligence, and I looked at everyone in the room, and I said, wouldn't you want your kids to be learning all this stuff at school first and foremost? Wouldn't this be more important and life applicable and really? Because it doesn't matter how smart you are if you're mean to people, in my opinion.
Right. No.
And if you're damaging other people along the way, that's not what living is. That's not what life is really about. So I believe, you know, people now today could start learning about emotional intelligence by, there's a book, Emotional Intelligence 2.0, that really is in the psychological theory of emotional intelligence, but I really, truly, encourage people, if you want to know on a more emotional, deeper level of emotional intelligence, to start to read books like The Art of Happiness and things around Buddhism, and watch some of the TED Talk videos. My PBS special is called Empowered, and that's very much around emotional intelligence as well.
And Jen, one of my favorite books, and yours too, is Way of the Peaceful Warrior by Dan Millian. And I love that quote. In it, he says, a warrior acts, only a fool reacts, because I learned that getting angry and upset and over anxious does nothing. After I read that book and your book, What If, Why Not? I mean, it's where I sit today. I have your book here. You signed it for me. So it is through calmness and understanding of people that you do become more fulfilled.
Yeah.
But in an emotional intelligence, before you came on, I had said to Dr. Lauren that it's hard for me sometimes to practice that regulation, that I don't get, expressing myself appropriately.
Yeah. So help us out with that, Jen.
Help us out with that, Jen. How do you express yourself appropriately when you're a little intolerable? No.
Right. So, like, all these different things, all these factors affect our emotional intelligence. So even if you are emotionally intelligent, sometimes you could be hungry and then get triggered faster. Or sometimes you could have been tired and be triggered faster. Or sometimes somebody can just trigger a really deep-rooted trigger. And what I mean is, what we're angry about in a moment is actually never really what we're angry about.
Mm-hmm.
It's something in our past that we're still not resolved with. And people can trigger our triggers based on that. And it's up to us to start to acknowledge what those triggers are and start to learn to become responsive to those triggers versus reactionary to them. And there's a checklist that I do. Every time I want to react to something, I say to myself, why am I feeling this way? Is it really real? Or is it my ego, which is always my ego? And why am I really feeling this way? So what is it in my past that's actually making me triggered by this person or this experience? And how can I change my perception around what's happening, what I'm experiencing right now? And then, most importantly, how can I communicate it to this person in a way that owns my own responsibility of my own emotions and helps me understand their needs and wants, right? So I'll give you an example. I dated somebody who spoke to me in a tone of voice that made me so reactionary. I wanted to react and scream at them or to completely shut down. And I knew that they were speaking to me in this tone of voice because they were trying to get my attention to get something that they needed from me that they weren't getting, right? That's why people raise their voice.
Right.
And so I looked at him as I went through that little checklist in my head, and I looked at him and I said, apparently you need something from me that I'm not giving to you, which is why you're raising your voice right now. And I also am going to assume that you probably got what you wanted by using this tone of voice throughout your life. So that's your, like, go-to tone of voice to get what you want. And it might have scared other people, or it might have made other people do what you need to do. However, for me, it makes me feel like I want to shut down and do nothing for you. So it's triggering in me my past. It's triggering me the tone of voice that my dad would speak to me in that I did not like. And so now I don't want to do anything for you. So if you really want to get something from me, you can get it from me by speaking to me in a more loving, nurturing tone of voice, and then I can hear you better, and I will want to do things for you, because ultimately, he wanted what he wanted, and I wanted what I wanted. So how do we get to what we both want, right?
And do you have to work on your emotional triggers as well? I mean, obviously, is there a meeting on both of those ends, or is it more making him aware of his end?
Well, it's owning yours first, right?
Right, that's what I think, right?
So I had to own mine first. So every conversation that I start that could be a moment of conflict, that's really conflict resolution. What most people don't get is that resolving conflict is the most important way to increase intimacy in any relationship.
Mm.
Yeah. So once you actually get through conflict with somebody, then you actually can become a lot closer, build intimacy, and build trust in a way that you can't when everything's just hunky-dory all the time. And so most people avoid conflict, or they blow up at conflict, but they don't actually see conflict as an opportunity to become closer to somebody. So in order to make it something that makes you closer to somebody, if you begin with, I feel this way because, right? I feel this way because of something in my life and something in my experiences that create this perception that I'm having right now. So you have to begin with owning all of your feelings. I'm feeling this way because it's something in my perception based on my life experiences that has nothing to do with you and everything to do with me, but I need to share this with you so that you can show me something different, that you can make me see something different. Because to this point, this is how I'm perceiving it to be.
Right.
And it gives somebody an opportunity to not be defensive and to understand that you're trying to get to a solution of understanding versus being right.
And in love. I mean, it's coming from such a personal, vulnerable, loving way that it's successful. And it's funny, I just went through some of this weekend, and in my relationship from time to time. And, you know, you do have to, sometimes in the moment, you're not checking yourself when it's happening. But to be able to go to that person sometime after when you have a realization like, wow, I just came from the past somewhere, and this is why, and this is how. It does empower the relationship without a doubt. It builds a much more trust. I agree.
And safety, right? So
safety.
If your partner doesn't feel like you're going to blow up every time something goes wrong, and that you're going to try to communicate it to get to a solution and not be right, right? Like the Buddhist saying, would you rather be right or happy? I'd rather always be happy. So if I'm approaching a relationship trying to get to a happy place for both of us, then I don't need to be right all the time. And that trips people up who believe, like, well, being right makes me happy.
See,
I love that. I'm using that, Tracy.
Well, yeah, because then I
would rather be right or happy.
Yeah, would you rather be right or happy? And then I say before she came on, my mentor, Wally Adams, with the Healing Touch Program, would say to me, Dr. Brew Joy wrote this book, Joy's Way, and he says, make no judgments, make no comparisons, and delete the need to be right. And sometimes my ego just wants to be right because I am. Well, I mean, it's true, like Tracy. That's my show. I am right, and I can't let it go. And Wally would be just, she just keep working it. Come on now, you keep working it. Just keep it on the low. And oh my goodness, it's been difficult.
It's hard, isn't it, Jen?
Well, it can be. We got to say it's easy.
It takes practice.
Yeah, we have to tell ourselves it's easy.
It gets easier when you exercise the muscle, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that clarity of you know what, being right, especially if you're talking to someone who also has to be right all the time, you're never going to be happy. It'll never be a moment of, so that's where you just say, you know what, let's agree to disagree. Let's agree to have two different perspectives.
I've said that many times. It's agree to disagree.
Right?
Well, one of my favorite go-tos.
I know my husband's listening, Rocky.
Love you, Rocky.
I'm sorry.
Aww.
I'm sorry, Rocky.
I'm sorry too, Jim.
It doesn't mean that every moment's going to be perfect. And, you know, even dropping my daughters off this morning, I was really rushed. There was a lot of changes in the day, which you both know about. And I felt flustered and I felt stressed. And I wasn't in my, like, zen mode as I normally would like to be driving them to school. So I was a little bit short with them and my answers with them and just my interaction with them. But then I was driving home after dropping them off, and I felt like, you know, that wasn't the best version of myself. And what do I want to show them? That, what example do I want to set? And I texted them, and I said, listen, I know that I was a little short this morning, and I'm really sorry. It had nothing to do with you, and Mommy felt really stressed. And I hope that you know that I still love you. And because I want to show them sometimes things go wrong and sometimes we don't act perfectly, but we can at least still own it afterwards.
Yeah, and that's through my practice, Jen, I've really learned that, you know, I'm not going to be perfect and things are going to happen, like your example. And the best thing to do is that afterwards, when you do recognize, you get to the people, like your daughters, and you say it. And you correct it, because it's that human touch. You know, everyone is human. We're not perfect.
And it also I think for, you know, teaching kids to say you're sorry and teaching kids to say you're sorry by being the example, not saying kids say sorry just to say sorry.
Right. It's not just a word. Feel it.
Right. To actually do it and express it will then allow them to move through these types of experiences easier. I mean, I was so stubborn because I wasn't raised with that same skill set. So I really had to teach myself that skill set and to be okay with saying sorry and saying I was wrong. And not that wrong meant you were a failure. Not that wrong meant that you were weak. But saying that you were wrong made you actually really courageous and vulnerable and draw people closer to you.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. Jen, we have some Q&A for you. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we can ask Jen Groover some of these pulsating questions that we have here.
We do, Jen. All right, hang in there, okay?
Yep, absolutely.
Coming on back.
Oh, no. See you walking around like it's a funeral. Not so serious, girl, why those feet cold? We just getting started, don't you tiptoe. Waste time with the masterpiece, waste time with the masterpiece. You should be rolling with me, you should be rolling with me. You're a real life fantasy, you're a real life fantasy. But you're moving so carefully, let's start living dangerously.
Okay, and we are back on the Empower Hour show, and we have Jen Groover on the line. Jen, are you with us?
Were you dancing,
yep.
Jen?
I'm here.
You like that song as much as we do?
I love it. I love music in general.
Good.
So we're going to switch gears here and go to a Q&A with Jen Groover, and we're going to focus on the entrepreneurship. Being an entrepreneur myself and reading your book, Jen, I have to tell you, What If, Why Not? You gave this book to me, or I bought this book from you 6 years ago.
How crazy.
And you wrote in it, thank you so much for your incredibly inspirational story and your support for my company, too, wishing you very much success. And I just want to tell you that, you know, when I first met you, I was just had a near-death experience, and that I just had a baby, so I had a lot going on. And you handed me one of your boot camp sessions that you used to do. Do you still do those?
Yeah, we want to know.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Your brand boot camp, $99, yes. Special event.
Well, they're a lot more expensive now.
I bet. I've seen that.
That a girl.
$5.99 now.
but I still do them.
Okay, that's okay. I'm sure we can afford it, yes.
Yeah.
So send us an email on it.
A lot of it, though, is entrenched with the psychological aspects of success too. So it's not just like how do you build your brand and logos and getting on television and public speaking, but it's, I've come to a point where I won't teach somebody those things until I teach them how to think first and how their beliefs really truly dictate their outcomes. Because no matter how smart you are, no matter how great your product might be, no matter how good of a pitch you might have, if you don't believe you're worthy of success, it doesn't matter.
So would you say then, is that how do you take your business to the next level?
Yeah, for sure. I'm really honing into people who are stuck with the self-limiting beliefs, self-sabotaging behaviors, but don't even know that they're existing, don't even realize that they have these blind spots in their beliefs, as I call them. And I have found in working with so many thousands and thousands of entrepreneurs that the biggest part of the education that takes them from good to great is all that psychological aspect and understanding their beliefs and understanding their patterns and really understanding how to optimize their human potential, because all the other stuff then is so easy to learn.
True. And in hiring employees myself in the past, you know, you can teach them all that stuff, Jen, but you can't teach them to be kind to people, to smile, to have a positive attitude. And, you know, those are the people I've always gravitated in my two decades of practice to hire them. You know, I can teach them how to work a computer and a certain software system. It's true, and this whole thing kind of resonated with me, and it's funny because Tracy and I check on one another, which that's why our relationship, our friendship is so powerful. And when we check on one another, she says to me quite often, she goes, "You got to get rid of that self-doubt, Dr. Lauren."
Yeah.
Like, what is up with that?
I know.
You know,
did you unleash it?
Unleash it, would you, girl? So it's hard, that self-doubt, isn't it?
Well, it's self-doubt, and it's also lack of sense of self-worth, right? So women start businesses 3.5 to 1 to men at this moment. Women are graduating almost double from universities. Quite honestly, we all have Google on our phones, and we can tap into the biggest university that exists. So it's not knowledge that anyone's lacking any longer, definitely not in the United States. What it is worth, sense of self-worth.
Right.
And that worth then builds into the self-doubt, or eradicating the self-doubt. And, you know, the worth issues still exist of generations of women not being able to be the breadwinners or being perceived as, there's a lot of underlying beliefs, self-limiting beliefs, that if I'm too successful, then I'm not going to be a good mom. If I'm too successful, I won't be a good wife.
Right.
If I'm too successful, all my friends from grade school and high school will alienate me. If I'm too successful, then I'll be a bitch, or at least perceived that way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these things that are we're operating from, these self-limiting beliefs we don't even know that we have. Or, you know, even around money, you know, money is the root of all evil, or money doesn't grow on trees, all these scarcity beliefs that keep women back from actually asking for their worth or believing that they're worthy of their worth.
Mm.
And that's really a critical part because, again, you can learn all that stuff and you can teach other people all that stuff. And going back to the hiring point that you made, the more emotionally intelligent you are and the more you believe you're worthy, you'll hire more worthy people.
So
because I didn't hire some people that weren't worthy because I didn't believe I was.
Yeah, or you were having a bad day or week.
Yeah.
and they somehow crept in.
So, Jen, when you created the Butler bag, did you have that strong self-worth at that time? Because things certainly have skyrocketed since you took that dishwasher tray and stuck it in your bag because you're standing in a grocery line and the guy's looking at you like, come on, get your money out, and your kids are screaming, so you had to figure out a better way to get your keys and your money out of your purse.
Right.
So, you know, where was that self-worth then? Or did you know you already had it?
It was something I was in development. I was definitely had it. I did not have it near to the level in which I do today, but I had it. And I had enough conviction in it that I would have the spunk in my pitching. You know, so many of the first experience of the Butler Bag was pitching other people my idea. And a lot of people who were listening, that entrepreneurs, get this feeling where they all kept pushing back to me, saying, we've already tried it, or women don't want it, it's not a good idea, all the reasons why it wouldn't work. And I had enough sense of self-worth and conviction at that time period to push back and say, well, what if it does work? And what if you had a chance to be a part of it? And what if you said no and your competitor says yes? And what if it changes the entire industry and you said no and you miss out on the millions of dollars?
What if?
So, that's
what book's about.
Hence the name of my book.
Read that. I kept on pushing because what if I stand in my ground and why not? And just keep pushing through and don't take no for an answer.
It was what I went through when I got my first business loan. They were like, nah, you get all the no's, right, Jen? And then you're like, well, no, I know I'm worth it, and I'm gonna make a difference.
And didn't you do that with the doll, with the Leader Girls doll? You did the same thing. They shot you down with the doll, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, duh. Down with the doll.
Right? Yeah.
Like, duh.
I'm laughing because one of the executives at the chop toy industry at that time when I pitched it, he said to me, literally looked at me and goes, honey, girls only want to play with pretty dolls, not ugly ones. And I go, huh, interesting, because I said that they were Leader Girls, not ugly girls. So where did you come up with that interpretation?
Ooh, what did he say?
So talk about underlying beliefs, right?
Yeah.
So I go, he goes, well, that's what you're insinuating. That's what everyone's insinuating when they come in with these, like, empowered dolls. And I go, no, I'm not insinuating that at all, because all my friends are hot, and they're all leaders. So I never insinuated that ever.
Because you surround yourself with like-mindedness, right?
So I never thought a leader meant not pretty, ever. And so I said, so what are you operating from that's the belief that you have?
Right.
So interestingly enough, I got a different licensing partner at that time, but on the front cover of Wall Street Journal last spring, so almost a year ago right now, it says, entrepreneurship dolls are the it thing in the toy industry. So
there you go.
A lesson sometimes is, as an innovator, you're also ahead of the game.
Right.
And you have to learn when to push and to pull, like, flow. Not even pull, just push or flow. And now is my time greater than 8 years was ago. And so that one company and all the other companies started calling me.
Right.
With, hey, you did this, so we want to do a licensing deal with you now. Where they're the same ones that turned me down 8 years ago. And so, you know, sometimes timing really is an important part of the process. And that's where real maturity comes in as an entrepreneur, is knowing those moments to push into flow and wait for the world to be sometimes ready for what you already see very clearly. Because if the world's not ready for it, no matter how great it is, it's not going to hit as good as it could when the world is ready for it.
Yeah, you got to believe in yourself, but also be patient. And I have had to learn patience. It's so true. When it's the right time, it's bam. It's everything.
Then you ride the wave.
Yeah.
That's when you ride the wave.
and it's a great wave to ride. Jen Groover, it's been amazing having you on the Empower Hour. Right, Tracy?
Oh, I'm lit up like a Christmas tree.
We don't want to let her go.
I know. I don't want to let you go.
You know, Jen,
I'm gonna
push it out and ask you on air. Is there a part two we can wrangle you in for?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you very, very much. And Jen, you have a great rest of the day. We're going to see you next week.
I look forward to it. Can't wait.
All right. All right. Take care.
Thank you, Jen.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. You've been listening to the Empower Hour. Stay tuned for your local little WCHE stations, and we'll see you next week, folks. Thanks.